Hello, welcome to Bird Camp Wonderland Radio Show. Tonight, I have with me Carl, that London guy. Hello, Carl.
Hello.
How are you, pal? UK?
All good. Good win. Good performance. I'm good.
Good, man. Been a while. It's nice to do a bit of podding with you again. And next, we have Josh. Josh, how are you?
It's an honour to be on with you, Jason, the wise Welshman.
Oh, don't start that shit. it's first time we've podded together, so it's nice to finally do it with you. And nice to do it on a day where we get 3 points as well. Normally get the arse end of the stick when it comes to results. So, okay, as you can tell, Danny's not with us. He's in bed. Chris isn't with us. He's been sunk off Plymouth. Good enough for the fucker. Fucking pirates, honestly. Have you seen his hair? It's terrible. Should we spend this whole podcast talking about Chris's hair, or do you want to talk about the game?
I mean, Chris's hair would take up a lot of work, but as good or as bad as it is, let's just talk about the game.
So straight to it, Carl. Game started kind of slowly. What did you make of the first sort of 20 minutes?
You're right, it was slow. The lineup wasn't what I was expecting. I don't know why, but I always think that Iwobi's not going to start. And I know that Arsene Wenger really likes him, but I honestly thought that Oxlade-Chamberlain would start, or even Lucas would start, because he's had a good few games. So the lineup for me was a bit different than what I expected, but nevertheless, it was good. The first half, I thought, was really, really slow. And just before the goal, I even tweeted, I love Arsenal, but this game is boring. It was, there was like no urgency, just stroking the ball about, just left, right, as we do. And it didn't seem like we really wanted to win the game. And in my mind, I was just thinking, this is going to be a typical performance. They're going to hit us on the counter-attack, go 1-0 up, and then just shut up shop. But that beautiful French guy, Oliver Giroud, pops up with a goal, and it forces sort of Swansea to come out a little bit. And you could tell, because as soon as they come out, that's when we just started really, really hitting them, and we scored, obviously, 3 goals.
Yeah. I mean, it's a strange one, isn't it? It's always a bit difficult when you go to a club who've been in a bit of trouble and they get a new manager. Paul Clement, you know, he's coached at the highest level. Real, Barca, PSG, you know, he's got an impressive CV, and they've come off the back of a Premier League win with them as well. Josh, you know, same old story kicking off the game, you know. A la Preston, a la Bournemouth, it was a difficult start for us. I know we've spoken to you a bit before, but what did you think?
Yeah, it was an odd first half, but something we've almost become accustomed to is that slow build up with inviting pressure from the opposition, and it was strange what we were doing with it, and it was really poor build up play until Olivier scored. We were really, you know, Swansea could have taken us to a tight game at that point. It looked like maybe we'd scrape a win or maybe even just lose, but yeah, once that goal came in, Swansea's heads dropped, as they did under Bradley, as they did under Guidolin before they got rid of him as well. So I think we were fortunate to get the goal, and yeah, once we did, we just pressed on.
Yeah. Right, we'll go straight to the goal. I know they had a chance with who had the first chance at Dyer? I can't remember. But let's go straight to the goal. Olivier Giroud, ball gets put across by Ramsey. He misses a sitter. And then comes back off the rebound, off the Sanchez cross where Ozil knocks it down, and he finishes it. Carl, what did you make of that?
I was cursing him for missing that first chance. I was thinking, oh, not again. How do you miss from that far out? Because if you remember, he'd done the same thing against the Crystal Palace game.
Yeah.
The ball flashed across and he missed it. And I was thinking, oh, God, come on, not again. But Alexis crosses the ball in, and Ozil, that's a header on goal. It looks like he's a brilliant assist, but he does try to head it on goal. And Giroud's in the right place at the right time and puts the ball in, and obviously he injured himself sort of doing that. I'm not sure if he's doing that or just before he injured himself, but wherever he injured himself. But it's brilliant that he's, you know, the stat of that he's scored in every single game that he started, which is really good. But at the end of the day, that's his job. His job is to score goals. And if he's in the right place at the right time, I know a lot of people say, oh, he's the brilliant plan B. But at the moment, he's our plan A and he's doing very, very well.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I can't believe he missed the first one. It was on a plate for him. Exactly the same as the Palace game. But in all credit to him, he comes back and gets, you know, and puts the ball in the back of the net when it falls to him. Josh, you're viewing it.
Yeah, I was the same with Carl. I was absolutely cursing him for not being able to get to it. But it does show that if we put in crosses to Olivier Giroud, he is going to score. Doesn't need to be asked twice. And
oh, he does. He does need to be asked twice.
Yeah, maybe three times. You know what I mean? He's going to put it in there. And I think that's some of his frustration that we've seen from him in the recent weeks is him just throwing his arms up in the air, a la Alexis, just when he's not getting the ball into him, how he likes it, in the air, on his head, just in and around the six-yard box, which is where he's going to pick up his goals. And whilst he's doing that, he's going to be happy and we're going to be happy.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he's first player since Adebayor to score 5 on the trot in the Premier League for us. So that's kind of nice. The injury, well, we're going to have to wait and see what that's like. But it was a difficult one. You know, I mean, I don't see how he's injured himself unless he's landed awkwardly when he went for the first ball. But he seemed to, you know, he looked at the bench and asked to be taken off straight away. He played on. He seemed to run it off, but came off at half time, or in the 60th minute. Sorry, any concerns about that, guys?
No, I think he should be okay. He didn't look like the injury was that bad. I think it was enough for Alcott to take him off, but I don't look like it's that bad. My sort of only concern is if he's injured, come off the pitch. When he came out for the second half, it was almost like, what are you doing? It's almost shades of when he was got injured and Wenger kept him on and then he was out for ages. Whoever, I can't remember, last season. But if you got a player injured, take them off. Don't risk it. I think it was Santi was last season. But if they're injured, take them off the pitch. You got options. That's the reason why you have substitutes and that's the reason why you have different options on the bench. And when he came on for the second half, it was like, oh, come on. If he's injured, he was, because when he scored the goal, he was desperate to come off. He was, you know, doing the substitution signs. So clearly he knew something was wrong. I don't know what happened in that dressing room for the 15 minutes. You know, the magic sponge obviously made an appearance, but it was, for me, if a player is injured, don't take any risks. Just take them off the pitch because you don't know when you send them out again and they start running up and down the pitch or they get a heavy tackle that could aggravate the injury.
Yeah. It's it's a bit worrying, but I could see the sense that, and then keep him on till half time. After half time, I wasn't sure. Josh, your thoughts on that? How did you see it?
Yeah, it looked just like an impact injury, really, that looked like taking a heavy tackle from the defender who was coming into claim the ball as well as Fabianski. I thought he should have just stayed on, to be honest. I disagree with Carl. I thought it was an impact injury, one of those that you think stings for a bit and you do just a little bit of deep heat or, you know, cold freeze, whatever it is, something in a can that you'd see on Sunday League that would just numb that area for the next 5 minutes and then at half time assess it. So I was happy we didn't take him off too early. But that being said, if it turns out to be ligament damage, I'm going to have egg on my face.
it is a difficult one. It is a difficult one. So the first half, I mean, it was much, you know, it's exactly the same as we've seen for the last few games, really, wasn't it? We didn't have much influence. They came out to show their manager what they want, you know, that they were up for the fight. They pressed really well. We struggled with that. And, you know, we kind of soaked it up and then we went for it. It's very difficult as to see why we keep on doing this. What are your thoughts, Carl? Why do we start so badly?
I think my personal opinion is that we don't show respect to the opposition. For me, it's almost like the team saying, you know, it's Swansea, they're at the bottom of the table, we'll be able to do this. And for me, it's just almost a lack of respect to think no matter how know how much we play, we'll be able to beat them in the end. And obviously, 9 times out of 10, sometimes that's what happens. We outplay the opponents and we sort of run them down to the ground and we score. But for me, it's just like this game. If you score early, it forces the team to have to come out. And then obviously, once a team comes out against Arsenal, we are one of the best teams in world football to pick apart a team. If a team's sitting back and they're happy, any team that can get a draw against Arsenal, whether it's home or away, they're happy with that. The teams at the bottom of the table, if they can get a point against Arsenal, they're happy. If we force a team to come out and play against us, we are going to tear them apart, just like Swansea tried to do, and that's what happened.
Yeah, yeah, it's difficult. Josh, I mean, on the main pod this week, the guy spoke about the setup. Again, you know, we seem to get outnumbered in midfield. Our wingers don't tuck in. We don't seem to have that right. Is that a concern for you going forward? Is the setup part of the problem?
I don't think so, because it worked for the first half against Man City a couple of weeks ago. I think the reason why we've seen us starting so badly from
it worked
the outset...
against Man City. Man City? Are you sure? Because we got played off the park.
Yeah, in the second half we did.
We weren't that great in the first half. We just defended. Come on. You know, I've got no problem with us sort of, you know, looking at things and trying to be positive. But I thought against City, we were awful.
You know? See, I thought with the first half performance, we were good enough to, if we continued at that rate, get a result. And I think what Wenger's done is switch that on his head to make sure we don't have an awful second half. We've played more conservatively in the first to make sure that we end the game strong. So the setup, I think, is okay. Now that we've got a settled base in midfield, because that's only Rambo's first consecutive game he's played in the league all season. So it shows how much that's been chopped and changed. So I think now that we've got a bit of stability for a month, albeit forced through injury and El Nene going off to the Cup of Nations, I think this is the time for the system to really get bedded in. Especially with Santi now being written off for even longer, Wenger's got to start looking at a long-term solution. Now that Santi's probably not going to be back till late April.
Absolutely. I mean, it's an interesting point to make about Ramsey. You know, only his first consecutive start in the Premier League all season. You know, if you look at the, I'm amazed already in the chat box. People, you know, slagging him off and what have you. You know, he had a decent game today. You know, in the first half when we struggled, you know, I didn't see people picking out Ozil losing the ball in his own half or Sanchez giving it away. Yet, you know, the same level of criticism is not, or the same standards are not applied to all our players. And yet, you know, it's only the second time he's played. So you've got to give the guy a bit of a break. First 20 minutes, our midfield is swamped, you know. Xhaka, you know, it was exactly the same. As Ramsey, we weren't quite at the races, but then it came along. You know, all of a sudden, you know, as they grew into the game, they dominated that midfield area. It seemed to work after a while. Not saying Swansea are the best opposition, but you know, I think when we look at players, you've got to judge them all the same way, and this is, you know. This is the thing you look at, you know. When we look at people giving the ball away, nobody gives the ball away more than Alexis. Nobody, you know, but he does offer you something different. And talking of Alexis, what did you make of his first half performance, Carl? You know, did you think he was effective? I kind of thought he was average, but you still get the work rate. You still get that, you know. Or you still get all that aggression he's got and the movement. How do you see it?
Apart from the cross to Ozil, I didn't think he'd done that much. The problem is with Alexis, yeah, you're right, he gives the ball away a lot. But majority of the time, when he runs to try and get the ball back, that's what people like. People want to see him sort of pressing high up the pitch and hammering down opponents. And when he does that, it almost compensates for when he has a bad sort of game. People think, oh no, Alexis is okay because he hurries players along. You're right what you say. I think if you're going to criticise players like Ramsey, and for some other reason Ramsey seems to be the fans' favourite for you to criticise, you have to criticise the likes of Ozil when they don't play well. Criticise the likes of Alexis when they don't play well. At times, it tends to, those two get a free ride. And Alexis today, he didn't play brilliantly, but like you said, Jason, he pops up with a goal and he pops up with an assist, and that almost compensates of when he does something bad.
Yeah, yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? You know, I mean, he's a special player. We know that. We'll come on to the end of it. We'll come on to Alexis again at the end, towards the end of the show, when you get taken off. Josh, second half, we were a different team from the get go. We really went at them. How did you see the beginning of the second half?
Yeah, it was really good. It was a bit like the Preston game where we've come out, we've just got to grab the game by the scruff of the neck and realise that we've just got to put another couple of goals past Swansea because they were there for the taking, I think, after they didn't get the penalty for the dive from Key.
He went down rather easily, didn't he?
Yeah, I think it's one of those that contact in the box doesn't necessarily mean a penalty. There's intention of the player that's also got to come into it. The bits you can't measure, so to speak, the things that you've actually got to see and the reason why you need a referee or even video replays for certain decisions like that, because it was not a cut and dry penalty. It was definitely a dive and it was well called out from the ref. But yeah, we've started really strong and it just, the Iwobi goal, which I think has gone down as an own goal.
Yeah, both of them.
Perfect, have. Perfect timing.
He got lucky, didn't he? He got lucky.
Yeah.
Let's be fair.
Still confused why Alexis didn't lob Fabianski before that. So I was too busy shouting at Alexis for what the hell is he doing crossing it. But Iwobi made up for it by looping the ball over. Maybe he was going for it like Ozil does that bounce pass, or it was just luck.
I felt for Fabianski. I've got to be honest. He'd made a great save from Ramsey earlier with his leg, and then he gets caught out with that. Carl, what did you make of that first goal? How did you see it?
He was very lucky. It was just about on target, but that can only happen to Fabianski. Of all the keepers for it to happen to, it can only happen to him. It was, a lot of luck, but at the end of the day, sometimes we need a bit of luck, and that, for me, as long as the ball goes into the back of the net, I don't really care how it goes in. Is a goal is a goal. But yeah, very, very lucky.
Yeah, it's strange, isn't it? You know, when if something like that happens to us. And to be fair, I don't seem to remember scoring many own goals this season. We've been pretty good in that way, you know. But I'm a firm believer in you make your own luck, you know, and the pressure we put on them told poor Jack Hawk. I mean, it was a bizarre, bizarre goal. And, you know, we kept on dominating from there in, and lo and behold, it will be, Josh, you describe it to us, the third goal. I mean, I put it down as an Oli Giroud OG hat trick, you know, that's just going to go down as, but how did you see that?
Yeah, it was getting a bit confusing in my notes because I was using OG for shorthand and I was thinking he didn't get a hat trick. Yeah, it was the spud or the ex-spud that put it in the back of his own net.
Oh, yeah,
Norton. Carl Norton. It was one of those that we've been calling out for, is just when one of our players gets to the byline, just flash it across the face of the goal and anybody can be there. To be honest, I don't think Ramsey was actually going to get to it because there's so much power on that cross. Yeah, I think he's going to be a couple of feet away from that. So we're fortunate that someone did his job for him and put it in before he could get to it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Carl, did you enjoy watching Norton put it in the back of his own net?
Of course, it's any time an ex-spud scores a own goal brilliantly, it's lovely. I hate their players. I hate their club. I don't really give them. Talk about them too much, but yes, it's brilliant. And like I want to say what Josh said, I just want to get the ball into the box and you just don't know what might happen. So when you flash it into the box, anything can happen, you know, confusion, and it just shows that if we did it more often, things like that could happen.
Somebody's mentioned in the book some Nacho Monreal. Thought Nacho played really well today. Again, they you know, he got kicked. How the hell wasn't Dyer booked in the first half?
Crazy. I was thinking the same thing watching the game. It was just ridiculous. And this, I understand sometimes referees want to give players chances, but when it's two blatant fouls and not one of them was booked, it's just ridiculous. And you look at when that happens to us and you think to yourself, if that was on the, she was on the other foot. And I always go back to the Xhaka when he got sent off against, was it Swansea at home?
Yes, Swansea at home,
Yeah.
yeah.
And I think back to that, like that was never a red card, but obviously with us, yeah, it happens. But with other teams, they seem to get away with it. Sometimes I don't know if I'm looking at it from an Arsenal sort of Arsenal rose tinted glasses, but it just seems unfair.
Yeah, that was crazy. It's crazy. Josh, everything rude, everything has come in and says, I think Wenger's going with Gibbs and the new kid next year. I think he'd no hope in hell. I don't think Gibbs is going to ever start in this team at the moment. He's going to use him to rotate, but that's about it. Because he's still as lax defensively lax as he's always been. Great going forward. I wish he'd get a bit more steel, but I just can't see it. Do you agree with everything Rude, or how do you see it?
Well, I've just replied to him in the chat box, but I'll expand on what I've said in there. I think Gibbs, it's strange with our fullbacks. We've got one offensive one and one defensive fullback available. We've got Gibbs and Monreal, so you've got the attacking one in Gibbs and the more defensive one in Monreal, and then you've
I,
got.
sorry, I'm going to interrupt you there. Sorry, I want to expand that because I think Nacho is really important to us going forward. His interplay going forward is fantastic, and I'm pretty sure I haven't looked at the stats. I'll be honest with you, but I think you know he's pretty high up there on sort of you know being an attacking threat.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's not an attacking threat, but I think he is more solid. That's probably the better term for it.
Okay,
He's more solid defensively, whereas Gibbs is more of your left winger that's making his run from further back. And you've got the same with Bellerin, and I suppose it's now Gabriel, isn't it? That's that more solid right back, which we saw. And he had a great game, I think, today at right back, Gabriel. Really.
the one part where he crossed the ball and gave it away. You
Yeah, absolutely. He's not the best going forward, but that's
No,
why
no.
we've got Hector Bellerin.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think with Cohen Bramall that we've brought in, I think we were very short in the under 23s with left backs. I think we only had one after we sent, because I think Plegge could play out there as well, but he's out on loan. So I think he was brought in just to supplement our youth team and see what happens. It's one of those gambles, and for, you know, £40,000, I think we paid for him. That's just a drop in the ocean for a club like Arsenal, and worth the risk. Because if it comes out great, then yeah, we're gonna be laughing. But if it doesn't go well for us, you know, it's only £40,000 at the end of the day, and you know, that's less than, you know, like a couple of £1,000 left and wages that we've got on the first team players.
Yeah. Right, we've been talking. Right, we brought in Gabriel here. Guardian Dundee. Gabriel was shite. Oh, you'd have been harsh there, aren't you, mate? Carl, you know, how did you make of that? You know, did you think he's been a bit harsh on poor Gabriel there? He's not a right back. He comes in, he's solid defensively for us there. I thought he made an effort to go forward. You know, yes, he's technically limited. You know, when he gets further up the park. But how did you see his performance?
It was good. I mean, we didn't concede, so he can't have been that bad. The way I see it is, if we concede, then obviously you look at what defenders thought it was or how the goal came about. He's no Hector Bellerin, so he's not going to be up and down that wing, crossing the ball in. That's not his game. That's not how he is. He's a centre back playing at right back. So he was solid defensively. He not many times a player went past him. He's not going to be, like I said, not going to be up and down that wing just like Hector Bellerin is. So if you're comparing him to how Hector is, of course you're going to say, oh yeah, he didn't have a good game, but we didn't concede. He had a solid game. So to say he was shit, yeah, that's quite harsh.
Yeah. It was a strange game. I mean, we get two own goals that it will be earned, to be fair to him. You know, I mean, unless you put the shots in, they don't come. We dominated the midfield second half, even though we'd been kind of outnumbered for the first 20 minutes or so. You know, they'd come all guns blazing. And then the fourth goal, Josh. It kind of falls to Alexis, and he just buries it. Talk me through it.
Yes, it's the Ox comes down a guy down the wing, a guy who's shown this season that he can put a cross in, and a great vision to pull it back to Rambo, who tries to get to the ball, but I think it comes off the defender who's trying to clear it, and yeah. Alexis is alive and paying attention and just buries it, as you say, hits it on the volley into the corner of the net. And wheels away for 4-0. It was a really great goal, something we expect any kind of forward player to be putting in, not necessarily with that great technique, but at least to put it in the back of the net. It's one of those that, yeah, you expect it to go in.
Yeah, yeah. Carl, did you see it the same as Josh? You know, how did you view it?
Yeah, pretty much the same as Josh did. He was lucky to be, he was in the right place at the right time. The ball fell kindly to him. But if there's anyone that I want the ball to fall kindly to in the box, it's him. When he's in front of goal, it's not very often that he misses when he's dead in front of goal. So brilliant. He got his goal. I'm happy for him. And then obviously we're going to talk about what we're going to talk about next.
Yeah. So Giroud would come off, Oxlade Chamberlain come on. Thought Ox did quite well when he came on. He was full of attacking threat, but we dominated the midfield, so we had an easier ride, which when you look at Key is a decent player, Sigurdsson's a decent player, Jack Hawk I think's a decent player, you know, they're a decent unit there. I know they've had a tough season at Swansea, but you know, we dominated that area. Ozil I thought was a bit quiet, but just, you know, coming back off you know, illness, a nice game for him to bed himself into, you know, so, you know, you can't be too harsh on him. And then the boss does what people have been clamoring for him to do all season. You know, you look on Twitter, I hate to bring Twitter into this, but, you know, if you look on Twitter, bring them off, rest them. He takes off Sanchez and Ozil. Now, Ozil comes off, no problem. Sanchez, it seems to be all about him. I thought his reaction to getting subbed off was pretty fucking childish, to be honest. You know, I retweeted Charles Nicky Burden, who's been on the pod a few times. He writes for 442, and he describes Sanchez as maybe the most selfish player he's ever seen at Arsenal. Now, I know he wants to win, but was there really any need for that? Josh, talk me through it.
Yeah, so he's... Yeah, camera comes Josh. To him and he's just... You got me?
So yeah, you got you now. Yeah, go.
Yeah, so say that the camera comes to him and he's just, yeah, head between his legs and cut over his head and just the most awful body language I've seen from any player who's just been told to come off and get a rest. It's not like he's injured. That's the kind of thing you expect from a guy who has just had a season-ending injury, to be almost crying on the bench. And we've just said, go on, mate, it's 20 minutes off. Yeah, I would agree with you that he does look selfish and he does want to be that Billy Big Bollocks in the team, wants to play every minute. And I think he just needs to have a sense of perspective, and he is becoming and seeming like a little immature.
So there was no need for it, was there? It was just silly, you know. Again, the team 4-0 up. He's got his goal. He's had a pretty average game, to be honest. In certain ways, he's had man of the match, which I was quite shocked at. But I thought it was a decent team performance today. You know, where we actually, you know, we actually came out and we played better as a team. Carl, go on, talk me through it.
Without actually knowing exactly what happened, it's hard to sort of comment. From the outside looking in, it does look like he was angry about being substituted. I would love to hear what Arsene Wenger's, because obviously the press are going to ask Arsene Wenger about it, but without knowing all the details, it's very hard. But from the outside looking in, it looks like he just got angry. The fact that he sat away from the whole team, he didn't even sit on the bench. He sat in front of the dugout, put his hood over his head, wasn't watching the game. Yeah, the body language looks like it was very, very negative, and that's not really nice. And if his body language is like that, then in my mind, I'm thinking, well, maybe he's not going to sign. And even if he does sign, is he almost holding the team to ransom to say, right, unless you play me every minute of every game, this is how I'm going to act? Because even Arsene Wenger said that when he was left out of the team against Preston, he wasn't happy about that. And you think to yourself, like, you're getting a week's rest. Like, just, I know you want to play every minute. I know you want to play every game, but just calm down. At the same time, I understand that Arsene Wenger likes to protect his players. He really does. But when your body language is like that, sometimes Arsene Wenger is going to have to come out and say, you know, we took him off. He wasn't happy. Let it go. Like, it's very hard to judge what was going through his head and what he was thinking. But like I said, from the outside looking in, it looks like he's just a petulant child, and he just wasn't happy about being subbed off. But at the end of the day, if your manager, just like football is a work, it's a job. And if your manager tells you to do something, you do it. So I don't understand. You may not like it, and sometimes you do react angrily. Like I do at work, when my manager tells me to do something, I don't like sometimes doing it, but I have to do it. And I wouldn't act like a petulant child just like that.
Yeah, it comes in the question as professionalism, I think. And I find it quite strange, because you've got a guy, he'll play up top, he'll play on the left, he'll play on the right if you ask him to. You know, the amount of effort he puts into the pitch, you cannot question. Okay, you can't question his effort on the pitch. You know, I thought today he was average, but, you know, again, you know, he'll chase down every ball. He comes up with a goal. You know, you've got to give him his credit in that light. But you know, these are professional football players. Surely, he's got to grow up a bit. You know, you look at Giroud. Giroud showed his frustration at not starting. He comes back and answers in the perfect way. Good performances. Okay, forget the Scorpion celebration. You know, we're all human beings. But it's just a really difficult situation to see one player detract from a good team performance at the end of the day. Okay, we started badly, but, you know, come on. Why are you taking away from a really decent performance from the team? Josh, you know, do you think he's going to stay with us, or do you think he's going to go? And if he does go, do you think it's going to affect us that much?
I think it's a tough one. He's one of those unique players that I don't think there's anyone around at the moment who could carry us without us spending, you know, triple figure millions to get someone in like that. It's going to be like £100 million player we have to bring in to replace Alexis. I think he'll affect us more if we lose Alexis than if we lost Ozil, just because I think we could change our whole system if we lose Ozil.
Yeah.
So it'd be a little bit of a cheaper option. And I think would allow Ramsey to flourish in an Ozil system. But with Alexis gone, I think we'd continue with that. Whether or not Lucas Perez can step up, because he's got similar attributes. I'm not going to say for any minute he's on the same level as Alexis, but he'd get us through until we could find a suitable replacement. But with scenes like we saw earlier, it doesn't help. But I think he's going to get that anywhere, especially as he's coming to the twilight of his career and the way he plays. More and more, he's going to have to deal with being rested, because his body won't be able to take him through games. And I think it's just that Arsene Wenger's been given that task to kind of break the camel's back, so to speak. He's just got to get that into Alexis's mind. That's what he needs to do. He needs to learn how to rotate, because otherwise he's just not going to have the career he wants. He's going to end up getting injured in his early 30s, and that'll be it for him. It'll be done. Whereas I think he could play on for a lot longer if he was a lot more careful and was rotated.
Yeah, it's an interesting point, isn't it? Carl, come in on this because, again, obviously, we've got contract negotiations happening with a pair of them. One of the commentators was watching a Canadian stream, and one of the commentators in that kind of said that he was under the impression that Alexis had agreed terms with the club. I don't know how true that is. No idea. It's just something that was said on there. If that's not the case, and I mean, I'm a firm believer. I've been supporting Arsenal a long time now. Nobody's bigger than the club. If Alexis wants out, he can go fuck himself. Yeah, that's if he wants to stay, great. I'd love him to stay. I really want him to stay. But if he wants out, he can go fuck himself, as far as I'm concerned. None of these guys are bigger than the club. The club will continue. But surely, do you think Arsene sees it as leave him express himself? He's South American, he's emotional, that's who he bought. That may have been part of the reason why he was allowed to leave Barcelona. Or do you think he needs to grow up and actually start becoming a proper leader within the team rather than moaning at everybody and it being about himself?
Arsene Wenger doesn't really like confrontation, and we've seen this over the years. He doesn't like it at all. My personal opinion is I think Alexis will leave. That's my personal opinion, and I think that Ozil will stay. For me, I totally agree with you, Jason. I honestly do. No person is bigger than the club. We've had some cult heroes. I know we got different opinions on this, but I know you don't rate Patrick Vieira as highly as I do because of
No,
where he
no.
left.
I rate Patrick Vieira. I loved Patrick Vieira. Okay, I absolutely adored Patrick Vieira. What annoyed me about Vieira was there was like 3 or 4 years of will he, won't he? Okay, he never came out and said I want to stay at this club. I know for a fact he'd been talking to Man United. I know for a fact he was talking. He'd been talking to Real Madrid, and if it wasn't for the fact that he found out that Real Madrid paid the black players a fraction of what they paid the white players, he'd have gone there. And that's what annoyed me with Patrick Vieira. He's a club legend. I agree with you, but the way it was summer on summer, all the speculation with him, he can go fuck himself. You know what I mean? That's the way I see it.
I get what you're saying, and no, there's not very many players in world football right now that will stay with the club for the whole of their career, especially sort of players from overseas. It doesn't really happen that often. Alexis, for me, he's the talisman in our team. He is arguably the best player in our team. And if we lose him, I think more. If we lost him, how much would we really get for him with only a year left in his contract? You're thinking so in the summer, he's only going to have one more year. A team is not going to pay more than 50 mil for him, I don't think. And he's worth so much more. Alexis is worth probably 80, 90 million the way he plays. I know his age may be a factor, but he's worth so much more. And the problem is replacing him. I know you may not get a like for like replacement. Now it may force us to change sort of how we play. And then you're thinking, who do we go for? Do we go for a left winger? Do we go and replace him with a striker? Like, what position do we play? Do we replace him with someone out wide? And for me, I know it's redundant talking about this now, but Draxler would have been perfect. But obviously, he's gone to PSG now. But for me, it's who you replace him with. Is it a Royce, someone like that? I just don't know. Ozil, if we lost him, I understand that we would change our style. We definitely would change our style. And I know a lot of people say, oh, it's not necessarily that Ramsey would flourish, but there are more people in world football who could replace Ozil than there are that can replace Sanchez. And that for me is the key. I don't think he's going to stay. I honestly do think that Sanchez will leave. And it's just how Arsenal then sort of react to him leaving.
See, this is the thing. I'm not sure he will leave. I genuinely I look at Alexis Sanchez, and if you look at his behavior today after the game, there are some clubs that will take him. He's not going to go back to Barcelona, okay? So the money he wants, he's not going to get in Germany. He's not going to get in Italy. The only place he'll get it is Real, or City United, so to speak, or China. I can't see us selling to another Premier League club. I just genuinely can't see us selling. So I don't think it's as clear cut as everybody thinks. I think there's a lot to happen with Alexis Sanchez.
But PSG and will pay the money, won't they? PSG
would. Yeah. That's another option. Yeah, but I'm just not sure there either. I think there's only a number of places he could possibly go to. Okay, so whether it be PSG, I don't think he's going to go to Real. They've got the transfer ban, and they've got Bale, and they've got Ronaldo. There's a lot happening there. China or PSG, because if Arsenal sell to City or United, it would be crazy, absolutely crazy. We'd be shooting ourselves in the foot. But again, all this conversation stems from his behaviour. Who's going to put up with it, because you got to look at the man just coming in. So it's a difficult one. After the fourth goal, guys, and the substitutions, we kept on pressing, kept on knocking at the door, but not a lot happened. Josh, a comfortable win. Swansea are in the relegation zone, but I thought they put a good fight at the beginning of the match. But, our quality shone through. How did you see it? How do you rate this after a few weeks, which has been pretty frustrating?
Yeah, Swansea have been abject in recent weeks. They did win in the FA Cup last week.
They lost to Hull in the FA Cup. They won. Oh, I can't remember who they beat in the Premier League. It's the Premier League game they won.
Oh, okay.
Palace.
They know Palace.
Yeah. That's it. Beat Palace. That was Paul Clement's first half game, wasn't it? Because he took the team talk in that game. So I think he was on a hiding to nothing coming up against Arsenal. He's not really going to, that's not what's going to save Swansea's season, beating Arsenal or getting any kind of result against us. It's going to be those getting a win against Palace, getting a win against Hull, getting a win against anyone around them. So I think once we breached their defence, they knew that's it. That their only chance of getting anything out of the game was, making sure that we didn't score against them. So once we did that, it was a really good professional job in the end, albeit some unprofessionalness from Alexis towards the end after he came off. But I think, it was a good quality win, and we were worth the 4-0 scoreline as well.
I thought it was a well-deserved scoreline. I really did. Carl, obviously the beginning of the game was frustrating. I had a quick look on Twitter early doors, and you could see that football's a passionate game and people get carried away. Were you happy with the overall performance?
I mean, any time you can beat a team 4-0 away, whether at the top of the table or the bottom of the table, and keep a clean sheet is brilliant. We haven't kept many clean sheets recently, and for us to do that away is brilliant. 4 goals away from home, we're up to second, I believe, at the moment, but obviously third, sorry, we're up to third, but you still got Liverpool and Man City to play. As long as we're in the mix, the problem is we're in the mix. I think as long as we keep in and around the top four, I know if obviously Liverpool win and also Man City win, then we're back down to fifth, but we need to be in and around the top teams. It's only January. There's still so much longer to go in the title race. We're not out of it yet, but we just need to keep on being consistent, need to keep on winning. We just need to, at the present, I hate to say this, keep on Chelsea's coattails, because that's at the moment we are. And at present, we have to hope that Chelsea drop points. That's the only way that we are going to kind of get this title is other teams above us drop points. We still have to play Chelsea away. We still have to play Liverpool away. We still have to play Man United at home. We still have to play Man City at home. So if we can take points off those teams, and I know people say, we don't do well against the top teams, but you don't know what kind of results are going to happen. You don't know what could happen. You don't know injuries, Costa's having a madness at Chelsea at the moment. So that could disrupt their, I know they're winning at the moment against Leicester, but you don't know what's going to happen with Costa, so that could disrupt their season as well. So all these little things can come into context and could help Arsenal.
Yeah. I mean, you look at it, our next run of games in the Premier League, we've got Burnley home, then we've got Watford home, then Chelsea away. I know we've got the FA Cup tie in between, but Norwich and Southampton are yet to sort of play that out. It's a nice little run-up to the Chelsea game. And, you know, as long as we're getting 3 points, if you look at this, the first time we've got 6 points out of Swansea City since 1982. Okay, so that's not to be sniffed at, you know. It's another monkey off the back. You know, if you look at it last season, it was one of the most abject performances I've ever seen from the Arsenal against Swansea at home last season. You know, and it was part of the reason, you know, we didn't actually end up challenging for the title. You know, that the West Brom game, etc. We were friggin' awful. So it's nice to see it. Any questions from the chat box? Come on, guys, give us some questions. Also, I know Chris puts a lot of effort into this, even though he's sunk at the moment off the coast of Plymouth. If you could give him Chris a thumbs up in his box, that would be lovely. Thank you. He enjoys that always. Let's have a look. Yeah, okay. Daniel Cronin. Today's behaviour aside, isn't the question of whether Ozil and Alexis Day ultimately going to determine who manages the team next season, whether it's Wenger or someone else? Josh. You know, we've heard reports that Ozil wants assurances on Arsene Wenger staying at the club until he signs or whatever. You know, how do you see it?
I think it does make sense that in any club, that if a player doesn't know what their manager's going to do, he was the man that brought them to the club. So if a new guy comes in, does he still want, you know, Mesut Ozil to be there? Does he still want your Alexis Sanchez to be there? Or does he want to bring his new ideas in? And a player who could have got a better contract elsewhere earlier, you know, around now and can start negotiating with other teams, is stuck at Arsenal where he's not getting games because the man who's getting replaced doesn't have the same faith that Arsene has in the group of players that he's got.
Yeah. Carl, your thoughts on it? You know, again, you know, there's a lot of talk about it. I find it a bizarre situation. You know, I mean, it's like the Aaron Ramsey conversation at the moment. I think it's absolutely fucking pointless. Okay, half the time, because I think Arsene Wenger is going to stay on for another two seasons. I that's all I can see happening at present. I don't think there's the right man out there. But, you know, if Ozil wants him to stay, you know, do you think it's worth keeping him on, or do you think it's time for him to go? How do you see it? What do you think?
I'm going to say my unpopular view. I do think it's time for Arsene Wenger to leave. I think we can't keep him forever and ever and ever. And at the same time, we can't keep, although Ozil is a wonderful player and I want him to stay at the club, we can't have the players dictating who manages them. I don't know if Ozil's worried about if he's going to be played next season. Ozil's one of the top two players in the club, so he's guaranteed to start. But I think, obviously, when you love the manager and you love the players around you, you want reassurances. Arsene Wenger doesn't know what he's doing next season yet. He probably hasn't made a decision yet. Just like with in 2014, before the FA Cup win, I was almost sure that he was leaving until he won that trophy. I think if we had lost, he would have definitely left. Again, I'm not a Wenger in or Wenger out, but I just think that it's time for someone new ideas, a new approach. If it's between losing Arsene Wenger and keeping Ozil, then yes, by all means, Arsene Wenger stay and keep Ozil. I definitely would like that. But for me, going forward, I do think there needs to be change within the manager.
I think that's a fair point, mate. You know, I wouldn't. I'm torn on it. I'm really not sure. I think he's going to stay. I'm not against change. I struggle to see what he's trying to do in the midfield at the moment. I think it's really, it's baffling at times. We get outnumbered at the beginning of the games, yet we seem to manage to play away into them. But again, the opposition's not been great recently. And I think maybe, yeah, you need the right man to come in. I think that's what it all boils down to. I think you really need the right man to come in. Okay, so questions. Okay, from Marble Halls TV. Lots of opposition fans say we are spoilt. Do you agree, Josh?
Yes. To be short and precise about it. Yeah, we've had top four football for the past 20-odd seasons. I think, yeah, we are spoilt. We've got a great stadium. We're getting world-class players coming into the squad now after years of, you know, banter-era signings and players leaving the club. I think we're onto something now. And I think we're so close to kicking on. I think we're just one level below an elite club. And it's just, I think we're expected to be an elite club already because we've got the elite facilities and now we're getting elite players. I think there's just people out there that think maybe we haven't got an elite manager. And that's what he's doing at the moment, is trying to build that squad to kick it up to that level. It's only a marginal gain we need, but once we do it, we'll be unstoppable.
Yeah, it's you know, you look at it, continuous Champions League football, consistency in finishing in the top four, which I know a lot of people say it's not winning the title, but you know, let's be honest, the Champions League TV money and, you know, playing in Europe every season is an absolute winner for signing certain players. You know, we just need to start winning titles again. That's the big thing. Can Arsene Wenger do it? Yeah, I hope so. But, you know, I think we are slightly spoilt in some ways, but we've shot ourselves in the foot a lot as well. Carl, Unique 79. Should Welbeck start on the left or up front when he's fully fit? What do you think?
Depends on the opposition. It depends on who you're playing. I'm a fan. Towards the beginning of the season, I wasn't a fan of playing Alexis up front. I'll be honest with you, I was not happy because I thought it was the reason why we didn't buy a striker. But, you know, credit where credit's due. When he started up front for a period of time, he was brilliant. He was absolutely brilliant. For me, I would start Welbeck on the left, first of all. I would keep Alexis up front. And obviously, you still got Giroud. So you, and what I'm liking at the moment is that we've got options. You know, we've got Giroud that can play out front. We've got Alexis that can play out front. We've got Lucas that can play out front. That's what was lacking in Arsenal's game for a few seasons, options. And if we can keep those players fit, this is what makes me have a bit of faith and a bit of belief that we can make a title charge, because we're not going to be playing the same players week in, week out. Hopefully, Arsene Wenger will rotate the squad. And Danny Welbeck, for me, is a massive, massive boost. I hate to say this, and I'm not Arsene Wenger, but it almost is like a new signing. It really is.
Oh, because, no! Oh, no! No! No!
Oh, no. Get the claps out.
I know.
Go fuck yourself.
I hate to say it, but it is, because at the end of the day, he's going to bring something new to our team. He can, imagine, yeah, you're a fullback and you're tired and Alexis has been running you ragged, or Iwobi's been running you ragged, and then Welbeck comes on and he has to run on, he's going to run at you. You're going to be pissed. So for me, yeah, like I said, it's not a new signing, but it is brilliant that we've got options. I know, I'm so sorry.
You utter fucking cock. Yeah, I can't believe you said that.
Oh, you
shit. Oh, God. My life. I mean, the thing about Danny Welbeck is, you know, he's not the most prolific scorer. He's not the most prolific in front of goal. He's not like Alexis Sanchez, but he's full of effort and he's full of industry. And, you know, I just hope he can get back to a place where his fitness, you know, he can earn the right to get back in the team. You know, it's something which, you know, it would be nice to see that competition. You know, I think at the moment getting Theo back, you know, fit is a little bit more important to us, in all fairness. Okay, Cayman 209. How do you guys feel about the team speed? Feels like we're lacking. Josh, you can take that one.
Yeah, I think our build-up play has slowed down in recent weeks. I think we were going for something more like Leicester were doing last season with a fast-paced counter-attack, which I think has slowed down since Giroud's come back into the team, just because that's how he plays. He prefers a slower build-up, which has led to some poorer performances, because I think that ability of us to blow away teams with our pace has been the reasons why we've struggled in recent weeks. However good Giroud is, and I think he is a brilliant plan B, and I think that's where it's coming down to the problem, that he's a plan B that we're playing as a plan A at the moment. And I think we should have persevered with Alexis up there at the moment, and I think, yeah, that's what's causing our speed issues.
But do you think that's happened because Theo's been out? Because Theo's been out injured, all of a sudden, you got a Wobi playing on one flank who isn't the paciest, let's be fair. Okay, yeah, we're not playing Lucas, we're not playing Ox, who are pacey, and you could give you options. I find it a bit of a struggle because I think there's enough pace in the team. Okay, but you're just playing two in the middle. You're playing Ozil further up the park, so again, you're missing that extra link in midfield, or a deeper link with Ozil, and we're not actually going. I'm picking the pace here, guys. We've got enough pace in the squad, but we're not utilising them. And even when we do, it's only kind of Lucas or Ox on occasion who actually get the ball in, because with Oli Giroud, he's great in the air. So why aren't we utilizing these players to get the ball across? What do you think?
Yeah, I'm really shocked of why Ox hasn't had more of a look in this season, because a bit like Lucas, but I think he's gone more under the radar, is how good a season the Ox is having. He's scored more goals than he has in any season for us, and he's probably the best crosser as well. So why we haven't got him out on the right flank whilst Theo's been out, I don't understand, because he's perfect for that. He is that replacement, especially if we're going to start playing Giroud through the middle, which he's the perfect link-up man for him. We saw it when he came on that he can cross the ball into the box. He knows how to pick out a guy that's there. It's just a case of, yeah, why is he not playing? I think it's more of a case that we should be banging the drum for that rather than why Lucas should be playing at the moment.
I think that's fair comment, to be fair. I think Ox has covered himself in, he's done well for himself this season, and it must be frustrating for him that he hasn't had a bit more opportunity, because I think Iwobi's done well today, I really do. But I think at times, I like Iwobi, but and it's awful difficult for a young player now, because when you play in the Premier League, you're judged on Premier League standards. So it's a very, very hard learning curve for these guys. But he hasn't always sort of deserved his place in the team, whereas I think Ox and Lucas, they've come on, they've done nothing wrong. They've other than Lucas has been accused of not tracking back. Well, neither does Iwobi. It's very difficult. It's a good headache for the manager to have. Okay, another question, Carl. Right, this is from, we're going to go Marble Halls TV again. If we get fifth, would you take winning the Europa League? We've only ever got two European trophies. And true, we've got the FA's Cup as well. Oh, yeah, sorry, no, it's only two European trophies. Sorry. We lost that fucking bastard, Naeem. I fucking hate Naeem. I fucking hate him. Would you take that, Carl?
What, fifth and the Europa
League? Yeah.
I mean, you still get into the Champions League if you win the Europa League. So, yes, I would, because you're still in the Champions League and it's a trophy. I know people will slate the Europa League and say, oh, it's a Europa League, it's not a Champions League, blah, blah, blah. It's another trophy in the trophy cabinet. Like, why would you turn your nose up at any trophy? Is that what people say? Oh, but we've only won the FA Cup. it's still a trophy that you've won and someone else hasn't won. Regardless if it's a European trophy or it's the League Cup or the FA Cup, it's a trophy that so many teams have entered and you are the best team in that competition because you have won it. So, yes, I would take fifth and the European and the Europa League because we still get into the Champions League next season and we won a trophy.
Yeah, you know, remember Copenhagen, remember the Galatasaray game? It's fucking painful to watch that. It is. You know, I can't believe we didn't win that game. I'm still gutted. And that was the day Piers Morgan became the biggest cunt ever to talk about a football club. So please, nobody ever mention that cunt in this fucking thing. He's a piece of shit. Okay, Benoit Messier. Am I the only one who's tired of hearing when talking about a player that he's got a great engine or he works tirelessly? I think we should bring up skill and end product instead. Josh?
I'm not bored of hearing it, but I could understand why we've brought in the likes of Elneny. We've got Rambo in the team. We've got Alexis in the team, who do have that exact attribute of having a great engine and work tirelessly. It's a stat that you can't measure, or can't measure that easily at the end of the season. So it's probably why people are getting annoyed and saying it's not really an end product. Well, it is. There's a reason why people played for Kante. It's that whole Moneyball theory that if anyone's read that book about how it all works in baseball, you look at what you need for your system. And that's one of the things you need. You need people who can get around the park. If you create a whole team of, just trying to think of a lazy player off the top of my head, Dimitar Berbatovs, it's going to be a pretty shit team because there's just going to be no one moving around for you. So, I think I can understand where the gripe comes from because we have built our team around a lot of very good engines. And that's what's happened now in modern football. I think that's what's happened in the last few years, that you need those people who are athletes that can play football as opposed to footballers that are also athletes.
Yeah, if you look around any Premier League team, they've all got players who can go up and down the park all game. You know, you have three Santi Cazorlas in the midfield, you're screwed. You know, you're not getting anywhere. You know, you need that nice mixture. You know, I as much as I love Francis Coughlin in the deeper role, you lose a player in attack. But with Ozil, you lose a player in defence. You know, you need that right mixture for team fluidity. It's unfortunately part and parcel of the game now. Okay, Gooners in the USA. Oh, those mad bastards. Chris is on Gooners in the USA, guys, this week. And to be fair, they were quite disgraceful in the fact they did not take the piss out of his bed sheets or his haircut anywhere near enough. It was, you know, at least Gimli did it this week. Which is your more glorious scenario? They're mentioning Chris here. Which is your more glorious scenario? Welbeck scoring the winner versus Chelsea or Chris finally snapping and murdering Gimli with his hair? Carl?
To be honest, that hair could do weird and dangerous things if you look at it. I think if there's any money in the kitty, I think Danny needs to pay for Chris to get a haircut. Definitely, like take him to Supercuts or something like that.
No. He chose this haircut. He chose it. He didn't go in and go, hey, governor, go nuts. You know, make me look like a dick. He chose to have this.
See, Jason, I've got a question for you. What's worse, Chris's hair or John's beard?
Oh, shit, you put me on the spot now. Chris's hair. Chris's hair, I'm sorry. Tom is not going to be happy about that, but it's definitely Chris's hair. It's awful.
It's something different. Considering his new job now, I want to see, is he going to change his hair for his new job?
No, apparently the new dress code in whatever it is, housing or whatever in Plymouth, is now purple suits, bad cowboy boots and shit haircuts.
Oh, God, so he's overqualified then.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Come on, Josh, get in there. You know, stick the knife in.
Yeah, it's true. I'm going to have to stick up for my fellow ginger in Gimli and say I reckon we could fight off that hair because as bad as it is, I think the only thing that Gimli's going to die of is laughing too much. because it's so awful. Sorry, Chris. But
the finest moment for Chris was when Raj set up the account Indie Chris and then forgot the password. Still my finest moments. Okay. Everything rude, everything again. Lucas is a waste of £17 million, let's be honest, for what he's being used for. Give up, Akpom, sorry, those minutes. Josh, I think that's a bit harsh. I do think he should be used a bit more, but I think Akpom, has... fucking Danny. Danny's fault this is, honestly. I'm never going to pronounce Chubba's name properly again.
Akpom.
Akpom.
Thank you. It does seem strange to me, you know, Chubba, you know, when he's had chances, he's a young player developing. I think he needs loan time, you know, because playing up front, you do get, you know, you do get absolutely pilloried if you miss chances. Yeah, Lucas has shown, I know you're not going to criticize the player, everything, but, you know, he's shown he can contribute, and he contributes to goals. Do you think Wenger should play him more? You know, I mean, I know you've mentioned Ox, but surely he's earned the right for a couple of starts.
I think the reason why Lucas basically hasn't been used as much as we think he should have been is because of how well Alexis has played through the middle. I think he was that contingency plan that if Alexis couldn't change his game to play through the middle and do what he did at the beginning of the season, we had a player who did exactly that last year in La Liga in Lucas. So now that Alexis has basically cemented the fact that he should be our first choice centre forward, we've got to go, right, shit. We need to give Lucas minutes because we spent £17 million on the guy. Where do we put him? And we've had to put him out right. And comparing him to Akpom, it doesn't really wash with me, to be honest. Akpom had an awful season on loan last year at Hull. He definitely wouldn't have scored a hat-trick against Ludogorets. He wouldn't have scored against... it was Middlesbrough as well that Lucas has scored against. I don't think he would have had the same return if you'd given him the same amount of minutes. And it was good that we've brought in an experienced stopgap player, because that's what's been missing from this squad for a while. And it was an unusual signing from Wenger, and maybe something that is, you know, a change in him, that he's willing to bring in finished articles.
Yeah, that's what you're saying. Danny's just saying that Akpom's been injured all season. I didn't realise that. So much for my knowledge. And yeah, everything. I get you weren't having a go at Lucas. I get it's just a case of why isn't he being played. I mean, Carl, we're going to wrap it up now. We've been going quite a long time. I'm going to ask you this, and we're going to take one from Dom as well. You look at Lucas, when he's played on the flanks, we've had Theo injured. Iwobi's done well today, hasn't always done well. You know, it's a steep learning curve for that kid. Do you think Lucas has deserved more minutes? You know, he's done well for us.
This is what I said at the beginning of the pod. I was very shocked that he didn't start today, because I thought today was a game where, okay, there are no guarantees in football, but if we had lost this game, it would have been a very, very big shock, just the way how Swansea was playing. So I would have thought our team like Swansea, we would definitely have started Lucas, and I'm surprised that he didn't. You know what it's like with Arsene Wenger? That when we was clamouring for Campbell to start last season, everyone was like, oh, Campbell's coming, he's done a few things well, and everyone was wanting Campbell to start over Theo, and no one could believe that Theo was starting over Campbell because just how badly Theo was playing last season. But you just don't, I hate saying this because it pisses me off when I hear people say, but you just don't know what happens in training. You don't know in training what Arsene Wenger sees and thinks, well, he's done that and I don't like him doing that because he might do that in a game. And obviously when he's in a game, he turns it on. So you just don't know what happens. But yes, I think he should definitely be starting more, and hopefully against Burnley that he will get a start. Or why change a winning team? If your team's winning, it's that old age old sort of theory. If your team's winning, why change it?
Yeah. It's a very difficult one, isn't it? And I think, you know, Wobby's come in for a lot of unfair criticism. But again, like I said earlier on, you know, when you play in the Premier League, there are no hiding places. And let's be honest, we know Arsenal, especially Twitter, it's fucking deranged. It is, you know, it's beyond belief some of the abuse that's handed out to our players. You know, I may call Patrick Vieira a cunt for leaving, and I will, I have done. But I love that man. I adored him as one of our players. So only when he left I'd ever call him it, because, you know, he represented our club with great honour and distinction when he was there. You know, he's a true Arsenal legend. You know, the likes of Alexis and Ozil aren't even on the first step to becoming Arsenal legends, as far as I'm concerned. You know, they need to commit to the club and, you know, put in season after season performances. Dom, our Dom has put in a start in the group. We're gonna wrap it up. We're gonna talk about this quite quickly, and then that's it. It's from Was the Gooner, and it's at Was the Gooner, and he's a really interesting follower. Was the Gooner is, he's on Gooner Ramble along with Clive, who was a guest on the podcast this week, and it's a really excellent podcast this week. Thoroughly enjoyed listening to it. But they do a podcast called Gooner Ramble together, and this one states, the Xhaka Ramsey pivot have played 312 minutes together, scored 13 goals, won every 24 minutes, and conceded 2. I thought they were fucking terrible, weren't they, Josh?
Oh, I don't know. It's only the second time. Well, we've gone over it before, how many times Rambo's appeared in back-to-back games. I think that's the measure that we should be looking for, is consistency. I think the Xhaka Rambo pivot has probably appeared in some quite easy games for Arsenal, so the stats don't tell the whole story.
Especially
if they're turning up against Swansea and we're knocking 4 past them and a clean sheet.
This is the first season we've ever taken 6 points off Swansea. So regardless of that, you got to look at it that way. You know, it's very difficult to measure, isn't it?
Yeah, I think we need consistency, which I think we'll have over this next month. We'll have Xhaka and Rambo as that pivot. And I think what they did show today was that kind of who should stay and who should go communication was working really well. I don't think we were ever caught, from memory, with both of them caught up the pitch on a counter-attack. I think there was one always at least back or within catching up distance to one of their players breaking. Again, it's a team that's not doing particularly well, but it should at least be applauded that they're having that time to get that communication and relationship built up, because it is a partnership that is very, very young.
Yeah. You know, this is the thing. You know, I find it difficult to listen to half the ball that has been spoken about Ramsey this season, because he hasn't played consistently. And unless you're going to play consistently, you can't measure players. People need time. It's like Ozil coming back today. You know, he's been ill. The guy's been ill. It takes time to get back into it. Carl, your thoughts on that? Is it a positive thing for you? Are you happy with it? Where do you see it going forward?
I said this on one of the radio shows earlier, so just to reiterate a point, I don't think we'll see Santi in an Arsenal shirt again this season. Arsene Wenger's come out yesterday and said he doesn't know when he'll be back. So at the moment, it's what we've got, and I'm happy with it. Everyone was clamoring for this partnership. As soon as we signed Xhaka, it was, oh, we want to see Ramsey and Xhaka. Like Josh said, I was very happy with who stays, who goes. No one got caught up the pitch. The communication seemed to be working really, really well. Sometimes one goes forward, one goes back, and it's brilliant for them to build up a partnership. And if they can do that for the rest of the season, I mean, I'm not expecting them to play every single game together for the rest of the season, but hopefully they'll build up a partnership and have an understanding with each other to say, right, when this happens, I'll go and you stay back, and vice versa when something else happens. So going forward, I'm hoping that the relationship between them will be as good as a Cazorla and Coquelin, because their relationship is brilliant on the pitch. So I'm hoping that the relationship between Ramsey and Xhaka can mirror that.
Yeah, it'd be nice. It'd be nice to have options. Actually, one last thing. The news on Santi this week. Another operation, apparently. It is hard times for him, isn't it? I don't see him starting again this season, I'll be honest with you. Josh, how do you see it?
Yeah, unless we have an injury within the midfield and we have to bring him in, I wouldn't risk what we've got going.
Problem is, it's his Achilles, and that's a horrible, horrible injury. So, it could take some time. Right. Okay, that's it. Okay, just to finish off, guys, there is this week's podcast out. Clive from Gooner Rambles on it. Chris, Steve, John Welsh, my Danny and Gimli. It's brilliant. Listen, give it a listen. The blog this week is from Lucas Premium. Excellent. A bit of a look at the midfield and our setup and the tactical side of it. On behalf of us all at ABW, a great man of football passed away this week in Graham Taylor. Our thoughts are with his family and friends. A guy who was pilloried by the press in a most disgusting way and who showed great character and just loved the game. Nice to see the applause around the country. I know it didn't happen in our game, which I was shocked about for him today because, as a guy who treated people with dignity and respect, and people say a lot of nice things about him. So, God save you, Graham Taylor. You were a decent bloke. And that's it from us. So, thank you all for listening. It's been much appreciated. 3 points today, 4 goals scored, a clean sheet. Happy days. God save the Arsenal. Thank you, Josh.
Thank you very much. I hope everyone enjoys the rest of their weekend.
Yeah, and Carl, thank you very much, buddy.
No worries. Just want to say, go to the AFC podcast Twitter. I've done a poll. We want to know once and for all what's worse, AFC Freddy's beard, or sorry, AFC Freddy's hair, or John Walsh's beard. At the moment, Chris's hair is winning 64%. So
Oh, I get a vote in there, guys. Hey, thank you, everybody, for listening. It's been much appreciated. Without you, we're just a bunch of arseholes talking bollocks to yourselves. With you, we're just a bunch of arseholes talking bollocks to you guys. So thank you ever so much. Take care. Have a great weekend. And goodbye from all of us. Thank you.
Take care.
Cheerio. Oh, Nanu Nanu cheeky monkeys. Has that stopped yet? Oh, I tell you what, this is
No.
shabby.
What's new, pussycat? Whoa. What's new, pussycat? Pussycat knows. What's new, pussycat? Whoa, whoa, whoa. What's new, pussycat? Whoa, whoa, whoa. Pussycat, pussycat, you're so thrilling and I'm so willing to care for you. So go and make up your big little pussycat eyes. Pussycat, pussycat, I love you, yes, I do, you and your pussycat eyes. What's new, pussycat? Whoa, whoa, whoa. What's new, pussycat? Whoa, 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 whoa. Pussycat, pussycat, you're delicious, and if my wishes can all come true, soon be kissing your sweet little pussycat lips. Pussycat, pussycat, I love you. Yes, I do. You and your pussycat lips. You and your pussycat eyes. You and your pussycat.